Blog Talk Radio.
I know you're gonna dig this.
Welcome to H Blues Word.
You are now rocking with the best. Best, 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 best.
Good evening. I'm your host, ACB, and you are listening to H Blues Word on Hampton Blue Radio. Joining me tonight will be Miss Fancy, as she will be on shortly. But be sure to follow us on Twitter at Hampton Blue, like our page on Facebook.com/HamptonBlue. Again, remember, no E on the blue, so that is BLU. You will also be able to catch the archives of all of our shows, as well as this one, on iTunes, the Stitcher Radio app, the TuneIn Radio app, and also on our blog talk page. Simply search Hampton Blue Radio, and there we will be. Now, look for in the future an actual radio page, our own radio page called HamptonBlueRadio.com, because that will, of course, make it easier for all of you just to go to one space and hear our shows, the archives, for sure. And, again, all the archives are free. So, you know, a lot of people ask me that question, particularly with the iTunes, but you do not have to pay. You just go to the podcast in iTunes, and you can just download it for free. Now, tonight we will speak briefly on the tragic shooting that occurred at the Fort Hood military base in Texas. This is truly tragic because this is the second mass shooting that has occurred on the base. So Fancy and I will speak on that. We will also speak on briefly Wendy Williams and the Evelyn Lozado beef. The question is, did Wendy take it too far by speaking on Evelyn's newborn? We'll share those details later. And lastly, Ms. Fancy and I will share our thoughts regarding the past the episodes of The Real Housewives of Atlanta, Nene calling Peter the B word, Apollo not really showing enough affection to his wife, and kind of making a weird and side comment on cheating. And we will also get into what's to come. Apparently, Portia and Kenya fought during the reunion taping, and some are saying Portia may be kicked off the show as a result. So we'll talk about that. Now, before we start the discussion, here's a song by Hollywood, Benoit and Tatiana, entitled Live On. I dedicate this song to those who lost their lives during the Fort Hood shooting. But we'll be right back.
Is it cause I'm walking around here late at night? Is it cause I'm hoodied up so you think I might cause a disturbance, probably start a fight? I guess cause I'm me, I'm automatically a threat. Charged with being black, or maybe in the wrong place at the wrong time. I ain't know that was a crime. Somebody called 911. There's a young guy here and he's looking like he's up to no good. But little do they know he would never hurt a fly. Got a future so bright and he doing what he should. Raised all up but in the second shot down. Black and beat a clip another round. Shout out to Romali, shout out to Noel, shout out to Reynaldo, shout out to Chantel. These are just a few of the hundreds who've been killed. In 06, we all remember Sean Bell. But we live on so they memories prevail. Stand up families, I wish you well.
Stand up, stand up, stand up. 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 Stand up, stand up, stand up.
Yeah.
Everybody stand up. Oh, you go.
Yes, yes, that was Hollywood, Lenore, and Tatiana. And you can catch Hollywood and Friends every Sunday at 8 p.m. That's with Hollywood, Lenore, and Miss Judy. They are definitely a fun bunch. So definitely check them out every Sunday at 8 p.m. on Hampton Blues Radio. Now, a shooting at the Fort Hood military installation in Texas left at least four people dead, including the gunman, and more than a dozen were injured. I believe they're saying 16 people are critically injured. The gunman, identified by multiple government sources as Army Specialist Ivan Lopez, took his own life. So he's one of the four who are dead. Lopez was only 23, and he was wearing an Army uniform at the time of the shooting. As of now, with regard to him, the suspect, investigators have not made any conclusions about the motives of the suspected shooter, but Army Secretary John McHugh told the Senate Armed Services Committee on Thursday that we're going to keep an open mind. Possible extremist involvement is still being looked at very, very carefully. He also says that the suspect was fully examined last month by a psychiatrist, and there was no record that there was any sign he was likely to commit violence against himself or others. So the plan going forward was just to continue to monitor and treat him as deemed appropriate, is what McHugh said. The suspect had a clean record. There were no major misbehaviors that were yet aware, that anyone was aware of. And he was undergoing a variety of treatments for conditions that included depression, anxiety, and sleep disturbances. And he was on prescribed drugs, Ambien. The suspect had two deployments, including a four-month deployment to Iraq as a truck driver. His records show no wounds, no direct involvement in combat, or any injury that might lead us to further investigate battle-related trauma brain injury. The suspect is a native of Puerto Rico, and he enlisted in the Army June 2008. As an infantry soldier, later becoming, again, a truck driver. So to me, the big question tonight is this a gun issue or yet again a mental health issue? Because we've seen this before. In fact, I was looking at the news this morning, and I just said, you know, it's almost becoming redundant. You know, when are we all going to wake up to at least examining more what the true issue is here in America when it comes to guns and how it relates to mental illness. I would like to bring on Ms. Fancy to help me with this discussion. Ms. Fancy, what are your thoughts on this Fort Hood situation? You know, is there a connection, you think, with the myths, or is this more about the mental illness, or is this more of a gun issue?
Hey, Stacey.
And how are you doing tonight?
I know you get excited when you get... when you're trying
know,
to get
right?
to the plane,
ready.
But hey.
Hey, Yes, Miss Fancy is on. I know it's been a while, and we're going to not do that again.
And I've missed it. It's good to be back. It's really good to be back. And
yes.
My thoughts, another tragic story, and to reiterate what you said about the redundancy, you know, I really don't know what to make of it. I mean, you mentioned mental health, but I think, you know, serving for this country plays a role into it too. Like, how many times do you hear stories about troops coming home, veterans coming home, and losing it? You know, whether they're getting in trouble with the cops, or, you know, they're homeless, or, you know, they're shooting at people. You know, it's a big issue. And I watched the news earlier when they were speaking about the deceased Lopez, and I believe it was mentioned, and I don't know how accurate the source was that he was angry that he wasn't allowed leave for a death in the family. I don't know if it was his mother or his grandmother, but it was somebody very important to him, and they said that that could have played a role in him, you know, ultimately losing it. And again, you know, we don't really know the story. We know what were said in pieces, fragmented pieces at that. But, I mean, it's just sad. It's always sad when innocent people lose their lives. You know, the three people he ended up killing before he turns the gun on himself. But it's also sad that he felt he had no other way out.
Yeah, that's very sad. And even though that's horrible that he wasn't able to go see his family, he definitely reacted allegedly in a extreme way.
Right, so, and that brings me back to the story of the woman who allegedly tried to drive her car onto White House grounds, and, you know, she lost it. And then a couple of weeks later, a similar story of another guy. It's just, you hear these stories, but how much of it is true, and how much is it sensationalized and fed to the public? Like, we don't know what's really going on. We have no idea.
Yes, you sound like Alex Jones a little bit. I know he's going on this, because he'll say, because I'm sure the conspiracy theorists are really going to hit on the fact that this guy has no prior issues.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it really doesn't add up. But again, if you think about it, you know, propaganda is alive and well in this country, and how much can we really believe?
You know, some people believe that, because when I first heard this, I initially thought that he was a soldier that was in combat, because I happen to have a great uncle who's passed on, but he was part of the World War II. I think it was World War II, or maybe it was the Korean War. Whatever it was war, and he came back shaking. He was never the same, because he had seen his friends killed, so
you
really don't come back the same. But this guy was not in combat, so like you're saying, where is this coming from? Of course, you don't have to be someone who went to war to become mentally ill. I mean, maybe he just was mentally ill just in general, but it's still very interesting.
Yeah, interesting and very unfortunate at the same time. And again, you know, my condolences go out to the families of, you know, everyone who was either killed or wounded in this tragedy.
Yes, and many are saying that we just need to remain focused on the crux of the problem, that
Obama health care.
Pretty much.
Because
like,
it all boils
really,
down to that, right?
Yes, we really need
that
to
focus. That was the reason.
More.
That's the reason he did what he did.
Yeah. We really need to focus on mental health and help in curing it or managing it, whatever it is, and also not allowing them to have such easy access to guns, even though anyone could kill someone. And actually, it's weird, because I was watching CNN, and a commentator said that there's actually not quite a link between someone who may be suffering from depression or whatever it is and actually becoming violent. Like, there's not quite that link yet, so I'm kind of confused by all of this, because it just seems like every mass shooting in the recent years has involved someone who allegedly is mentally ill.
Right.
So I don't know how they don't see there's a connection.
And we are a society. Right, I'm sorry to cut you off. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Right. We are a country that focuses more on, you know, on the physical ailments. You know, cancer, fighting cancer is huge. AIDS awareness is huge. But like you said, mental health gets swept under the rug. And it's interesting. I was watching Wendy Williams. Shout out to Auntie Wendy. And she had
we're
going to
talk about Wendy.
Right? Oh, yeah, we're going to talk about her. That's right. But Rosie Perez was a guest on her show, and Rosie Perez has wrote a memoir about her life. And basically, and, you know, this is not plugging Rosie Perez, but she said something that I thought was very pivotal. She mentioned that her book was solely centered on her struggle with all of the circumstances of her life and everything she witness as a child and, you know, being a ward of the state and being abused and et cetera, how that played a role in her anger issues as an adult, and she didn't realize it. And she also said that maybe Chris Brown should take, you know, his post-traumatic stress order, you know, more seriously because it can, you know, ultimately snowball out of control because you need therapy, you need medication. When you're fighting a battle with yourself, within yourself, and you need help. And she basically said, you know, people don't even realize that they need help because if it's not physical, you don't really think there's something wrong.
That's true. I agree because it definitely seems to come out of nowhere because even Chris Brown, of course, we only saw his image, but he seemed like a good guy.
And it seems like it comes out of nowhere, but it's like, you know, Rosie, you know, I thought eloquently explained, it's always mm-hmm. there. No matter how much money you make, no matter how much success you achieve, you can't outrun your past. You have to deal with it. You have to deal with your demons.
That's a very good point to make because you're right. Because success, they say fame, actually enhances the problem.
Exactly.
Like people think, oh,
yeah.
If I get money, if only I can
right.
be famous.
Right. It just exacerbates it. Because
yeah.
now you're not focused on the struggle or the chase anymore, and you're idle, and now you have to deal with yourself.
Exactly. All right. Well, that's our discussion so far on the Fort Hood shooting, and very sad. And again, our thoughts and prayers go out to the families who've lost loved ones. You know, we just have to really, really work on health, or mental health care, that side of it. You know, it's not just physical.
Exactly.
Now, let's get into Wendy Williams.
All right now. How you doing, Auntie Wendy?
let's have the late, great Whitney Houston do her chant for us.
Wendy.
Yeah, you know, Wendy is always stirring the pot, and,
yes.
you know, she does it really well, and every so often, you know, something out the pot would jump out and try to bite her, as
yes,
we've seen with this Evelyn Lozada situation.
Yes, with Evelyn, for those of you who haven't heard, Wendy Williams was on her show during Hot Topics, and Evelyn Lozada is from Basketball Wives, correct? Like, that's where she kind
right.
of became famous.
That's her claim to fame. Well,
is it
her claim to fame is sleeping with athletes, but
yeah,
she
athletes,
ended up getting
yeah.
on a show, Basketball yeah. Wives, and that's how she's, you know, I don't want to say relevant because I don't believe that she is, but
yeah.
people know enough of her to speak about her.
Yes, because but what really upset Evelyn, and I'll share my opinion, but I kind of think rightfully so, was Wendy, during Hot Topics, congratulated Evelyn and said, pretty much called her newborn a cash register because the baby's father is a well-paid baseball player. So Evelyn took to Twitter and responded, stating, you know, Wendy Williams, I never bother anyone. I even bought you a beautiful bouquet of flowers congratulating your Broadway debut. But since you want me to open Dolce in L.A., maybe your man can come to that store and purchase shoes for another woman like he did at my Miami store, is what she said. So,
yeah, that's what she said. And, you know, I watched the Wendy show, actually. I always try to tune in, but obviously, you know, sometimes you don't have the time to sit and watch television, and I'm not one to record. I always forget. But I happened to watch that particular episode, and I didn't think Wendy was malicious. I thought she was saying what it was. Like, listen, Evelyn, you're a woman of a certain age. You're in your late 30s, knocking on 40, and you finally got it right this time. You got knocked up by someone who's coinked up, basically, because this guy has a lot of money. And I don't understand, you know, what the problem is. It's not like we haven't seen Evelyn Lozada's life. Well, from what she portrays on reality TV, she was impregnated by a basketball player. Her daughter is, what, 20-something years old. Then she was dealing with that football player. And then after that, she was dealing with someone else, and now she's with him. So I don't see what the stretch is for your imagination to say, this is just this woman's MO. This is what she does. She goes after dudes with money and tries to get pregnant. Because if you remember, she was trying to get pregnant with Ocho Cinco and having talks with doctors about fertility testing and all of that. So when Wendy made the comment about, you know, oh, you know, you lucked up and, you know, hold on to this one, cash register. And she even said, you know, this guy is lucky to have you but for his money and stature, he would not be able to get a woman like you, meaning as far as Evelyn looks, right? So I thought Wendy was just shooting from the hip. I thought it was very tacky of Evelyn. You know, she's from the projects, and you could take them out the projects, but you can't take the projects out of them. Why get so nasty? And for her to try to, you know, butter it up like, oh, I never had any problems with you and I sent you a bouquet of flowers. Oh, really? So if you didn't have any problems with me and you liked me well enough to send me a bouquet of flowers when I opened on Broadway, you should have told me when my husband was in there purchasing shoes for his mistress. Why say it now as an attempt to ridicule me because you don't like what I said on my show? You know what I do for a living. She knows. Just like Evelyn is a reality star for television and she makes a fool out of herself fighting women, degrading herself, disrespecting herself on TV is the same way Wendy, she gives the people what they want. She gives them the gossip. That's what Wendy does. That's what she's done for years.
How you doing?
How you doing? So Evelyn needs to take a seat and just raise her baby.
Wendy is doing her job, you know, kind of similar to Oprah. You know, she asks her questions or says what her audience is thinking.
And think about it. You ask any person who's in tune with reality TV who knows anything of Evelyn Lozada, what do you think their thoughts would be? You know, I think, you know, Evelyn, you know, she's probably really sensitive. She's pregnant. You know, your hormones, they make you crazy. And she probably was very hurt by what Wendy did, and she retaliated without thinking first.
The only thing I will say, though, is it is her baby, so I can be a little sensitive to that because I don't know about calling a baby a cash register because they've done nothing wrong. They were born and, you know, they weren't actually born.
Of all the things you could call a baby, I don't see anything wrong with a cash register, especially when mommy was out there working in the field. Mommy was
working in the
field, and guess what? Cha-ching, it finally paid off. Finally paid off. I'm with Wendy on this one. Evelyn played herself, and it's funny because the next day on Wendy's Hot Topics, she didn't mention it. She didn't even feed any fire into this mess
That's a big question, though, because Hollywood and them talked about this on their show, but was that a repeat show, though? Because I've been waiting for Wendy to respond.
Well, I thought she hit a few subliminals. She made a reference to Khloe Kardashian not wanting to do a show with what's that old lady's name? Joan Rivers, because of, you know, the spoof that Joan Rivers did with Ray J, you know, mimicking the sex tape that Ray J and Kim did, and Khloe tried to act all up in arms like, how dare you talk about my family? And Wendy basically said, like, come on, you know, that sex tape was basically what put you Kardashians on the map. And then she goes further and says, remember where you're from. play your position. And I felt like that was definitely a barb at Evelyn Lozada without her saying, Evelyn Lozada, I'm talking about you because you're not even important enough for me to talk about you. I'm going to talk about you and the rest of the trash that needs to remember where you're from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, it's weird. It's definitely a gray area. I think you can look at it both ways. I mean, it's clear that Evelyn is in a culture that is about getting that check. Because Wendy has said it many times to different women. Even, what's her name, Kim Porter with Diddy. She's like, you know, this is one of the smartest chicks in the game because she's had how many babies by Diddy?
I agree. And you,
I mean,
you never hear
she
about
her
Kim
older
Porter.
Age, she has twins? I mean,
right. And you never hear Kim Porter acting up or getting crazy because she knows how to play her position. She knows who she is. She's the mother
she
of his children. Exactly. So
yeah.
It is what it is. And Evelyn Lozada, you played yourself. You really played yourself because if you really were offended by Wendy telling you, oh, you should open up a store, and I thought that was I thought that made perfect sense. Like, you don't have to hustle anymore. You can finally get out the game. Give your coochie a rest. You're good now. Open
oh my
the floor
God,
and sit still and be happy. That's basically what Wendy was saying. Like, you can retire. You don't have to be out there in the club looking for a new target. You got the man. You cashed in. Cha-ching. Open up a store and just be happy. So for Evelyn to take it there, talking about, and women know what's below the belt, and she knew that was nasty. The worst thing you could tell a woman is that her man is cheating on her. Not only is he cheating on her, he's spending money on the next chick. No, what woman wants to hear that?
Yeah, especially since Wendy's man, according to Wendy herself, has cheated before. So
right.
Here's the question. Do you think that she was telling the truth, Evelyn, or was she just trying? Because really she doesn't know who he was buying the shoes for. I mean, did he sit there and tell her? I mean, I'm trying to understand how she knew.
Exactly, and that's the thing. Like, so basically, Evelyn, all you said, all you illustrated is that you're shady. Because if you were cool enough to send flowers to Wendy for her opening on Broadway, you're not cool enough to tell her, oh, your man was in here buying shoes? Like, she broke the girl code. And I know the girl code doesn't exist, but if it did exist, she definitely broke it.
And it should exist.
Right, so don't play shady. So now you're gonna bring it up now? So Wendy should be mad at her. Exactly, Wendy should be mad at her. How you knew about my man buying shoes this whole time, and now you just saying it because I told you should open up a shoe store? Evelyn is a bird. Get her out of here. Let's move on.
Yes, but let's have Whitney, the late, great Whitney, say one more thing. Maybe,
let's let her.
Maybe this is what Evelyn would have wanted to say to Wendy, but...
I'd meet you outside, but I'm a lady, and I have a class.
or my favorite, Mama Joyce.
Yes, Evelyn,
you low down dirty heifer. You low down dirty heifer. Because that's what I say. That's what Mama Joyce.
That is good right there.
Low down dirty heifer.
We miss you, Whitney Houston. This is all with
rest
respect.
In peace, Whitney.
Yes, we miss you. Okay, so let's get into some more life talk. The Real Housewives of Atlanta. We have been on hiatus for so long. There's just too much to discuss. So let's start
a
couple weeks back with Apollo and his private combo with Kenya. Private, by the way, in quotes, as they were in a common area with Peter, Greg, Todd, Mayer, Owen's camera crew. So not, you know. Not really private, but Phaedra was not having it. She was pissed to the 10th power when she saw Apollo and Kenya seated together. She even went back to her room. So, Miss Fancy, who should she really be upset with? Should she be upset with Apollo or Kenya?
She should be upset with both of them. And I say that because, one, her husband knows how she feels about the situation. Why are you even entertaining this woman, especially when it's obvious to a duck that Kenya is only engaging Apollo in conversation just to get underneath Phaedra's skin? And that's the thing men don't understand about women. They don't understand the game, the games that women play, the catty, petty games that women play with each other. You know, even at one point Kenya said to Phaedra, don't speak for your husband, as if she was an authority on Apollo, as if she knew him better than Phaedra. And the reason why she was able to say that was because she said to him earlier, are we good? Are we friends? Are we cool? And Kenya is no dummy. She's very strategic, very manipulative. And I hope Portia did whoop her ass, because like Nene said, that ass whooping was long overdue. Kenya is a troublemaker, and she's a very unhappy woman. Look at her. She's lying about this Nigerian prince. Like, I don't understand. One minute you have this guy who brought you a Bentley or a Rentley, as Phaedra said, Rentley driving, but you're talking about other
That's
men.
That's hilarious.
right, but you're talking about other men and artificial insemination and this, that, and a third. And it's like Kenya doesn't even see that her facade is cracking. Like, look at how she attacked Portia at the table and was so angered by the fact that that Portia could have possibly played beard to her husband. But why are you so angry? Did you wish you had that opportunity? Because like Phaedra said, please, honey, Kenya knows she'd have been his beard, his mustache, his cufflink, whatever. Because obviously, Kenya is thirsty for a man. And she mentioned on the show, and she was being funny, and she was telling Peter and Cynthia how, you know, she's an attractive woman, and she can go anywhere, and you know, D-I-C-K is never a problem. If she goes to her mailbox, the mailman is like, here's your mail. You want some...
So that was kind of funny, though. I believed her a little bit in that.
But what she fails to realize is men can offer you dick all day and all night. But if he's not offering you his hand in marriage, that's it. So stop worrying about the penis that's being offered to you, Kenya, because you have not been, you're not in a relationship. No one has wifed you. No one has claimed you. And you're sitting there in your 40s and you're angry and you're miserable. And your behavior shows it.
It definitely shows it. I agree. And
it's so disheartening to watch because she's such a beautiful woman. And it's like, this woman is so beautiful. Why are you so angry? Why did you allow life to lead you here? You could be this positive person having an effect on young women who look up to you, and yet you're on TV talking about mirror, mirror, all on the wall, I'm the shadiest one of them all, and, you know, doing all sorts of tricks and deceitful things to make people unhappy. It's like, can you have a seat? Go to church. Do something. Like, I'm ready to just douse her with holy water, Stacey.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. Now, we know Kenya is shady, but Apollo is married to Phaedra, so why was he sitting there talking to her when he knew his wife told him point blank, I don't want you talking to her. I don't want you socializing with her.
You know, clearly that marriage is on the rocks, because that toast he gave at her birthday party, he could have just sat down and not have said anything. That was embarrassing. Like, why would
you
get up?
Oh, I know that. In fact, that was good for Apollo.
Why would you get
up?
Like, Apollo, really? Like, and can you play Miss P? Apollo is cute, but he don't need to say.
Apollo is a pretty face, but he don't need to say nothing.
Exactly. Like,
yeah, because Apollo, because not only did he make that crazy speech, but I have a clip right here of him talking about cheating in a relationship. Check this out.
Well, this is my thing. If you're going to cheat and you want to cheat, you should not be getting married. Because the first time I find you cheating on me, I'm deuces. I'm done with it.
Like, for me, I feel like all people cheat. I feel like some given point, there's a breaking point.
Do you think Phaedra has cheated?
Now, no, not right now, but at some point, something could happen. You never know.
Hey,
but
don't be late.
For me, this is the thing. I'm never going to set myself up not to think. Like, for example, this is what I would tell her. If she wants to cheat, please make sure that you wear a condom.
Is that why Apollo stuffed her pinata full of condoms so that she can use them with other men? That's just really messed up.
Shut
Apollo.
Up.
Apollo is a pretty face, but he don't need to say nothing.
No, he doesn't. And Apollo
So wait a minute. Apollo is saying something now. Back to his speech to his wife where he pretty much just said, thank you for having my kids.
Exactly. That's all he said.
He went to the news outlets and stated that he was edited and it was done on purpose to make him look stupid or look bad. But I don't know. I have a feeling he really said that.
Given the reactions from the people they were all looking at. I don't know. I mean, that's some really good editing if that was the case. But I don't know. This season of The Housewives of Atlanta, I'm not going to lie, it has me on edge. It just has me so riled up. I can't even tell you.
It is one of the best seasons. I mean, what about their marriage? Do you think that they are headed for divorce?
It definitely seems rocky. It seems like Apollo was goading Phaedra by speaking with Kenya. Like, you know that this is not going to be what your wife would like to see. It's like he did it intentionally. And then that conversation he had with her outdoors when he was just like, oh, you mad, whatever, and walks away. And it's just like...
What did he say? What did he say? He was like... He used some word, and she had to correct him. I forgot.
Oh,
he said jovial instead of jovial.
Jovial as opposed to jovial. And you know what? It was, you know, that scene really broke my heart because Phaedra was really hurt and angry at the same time, and she just wanted to be comforted by her husband, and he was so stuck on his male bravado and feeling like he wasn't wrong and didn't want to be wrong and didn't want to apologize, and all she wanted was for him to say, I love you, I'm sorry for disrespecting you. That's all she wanted, and that really hurt me because you saw then, you know, and people always point out the differences between men and women, and that scene, to me, encompass that entire, it's just like women and men come from totally different places. She just wanted to be reaffirmed that he understood why she did not want him speaking to this woman. And then again, why would you speak to her, Apollo? She basically said you were a convict, that you had AIDS, talked about your wife, talked about your kids. Why are you entertaining this woman, except for the fact that you know it gets under my skin?
Exactly, because it was very interesting. You're right, because kind of like what Oprah says, all people want to know is that you hear them. And it was sad to even hear Phaedra, as Apollo was leaving, say, really? You're going to leave me like this? You're going to leave me outside the room with no, not even going to get a key for me or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's definitely not someone. I don't ever want to say that people should break up. But I don't know if that's a relationship for her. I mean,
Phaedra's obviously a woman who's, you know, very mature, very, you know, she's very driven, very focused, and it's just unfortunate that the man she chose is emotionally stagnated. I mean, he's younger than her. He spent a period of his life in jail, you know, which, you know, made him regress even more, because think about it, most men aren't mature, especially in their early 30s, and I believe Apollo is in his early 30s. And he spent a bulk of his mid to late 20s in jail, and now he's trying to be a man, and it's his little boy ways are coming out.
His little boy ways are coming out, but he's very reckless for her. She's an attorney, and for him to get in trouble again and possibly ruin her career, she's got to let him go. That's when you.
Well, she definitely has to. And you know, Phaedra's a big girl, and I know she won't have any problems putting her big girl panties on. She made the bad decision of, you know, coupling with someone like Apollo, and these are the consequences of that. And she can either let that mistake cripple her, or she can move forward and learn from it. And I think it will be the latter, because Phaedra is a very smart woman. Like, she's the type of woman, right, exactly. Like, she's not the type of woman who will let something like this keep her down. Not at all.
Exactly. Now, then the drama continued as Greg and Peter got into it over Peter expressing his disappointment.
Oh, my gosh. Two old men fighting. What were they fighting about? The Bengay?
Wait, hold on. So probably a month or so prior at Kenya's charity event, honoring Mimi, Peter told her then he was disappointed in her behavior, as Mimi threw much shade to Kenya publicly at the event. Peter thought it was inappropriate since the event was all about charity. Greg did not say anything to Peter at the charity event, but for whatever reason, he held on to his anger and confronted Peter in Mexico, and here's a clip.
You got your pass. You and do it again. Okay, you want to say you and do it again. Okay, you want to say pass.
The
Kenya masquerade ball. Nene said something to me, and I said, I'm mad at you because I'm not proud of how you act tonight. He never said nothing. Okay, but he'd been harboring it. Okay, and he's going to tell me if I ever
but
step
I know,
on his wife's face.
No,
man, I'm going to tell you what I just said.
I
I never would have expected Greg and Peter to get into it. When me, Greg, Peter, and Cynthia are all friends, but friend or no friend, when you cry, you deserve a little check too.
Yeah, so I'm going to play another clip a little later because Nene had said something quite disrespectful to Peter later on. But Ms. Fancy, what are your thoughts first on Greg and Peter and their little situation? Because it did seem to come out of nowhere with Greg, and I think that kind of threw Peter off a little bit.
I thought I was disgusted watching reality television and watching grown women fight and argue and call each other bees and whatever. But no, the breaking point was seeing two old men arguing getting ready to fight. Like, it was just like, really? And then at one point, Greg was like, don't check me, Todd. Like, dude, are you really about to get nuck and put
and
your
he's
fist
like
up?
65.
Like, no, he's like two heartbeats away from cardiac arrest. He needs to stop. They all need to stop. I'm disgusted. But the one good thing that came out of that whole situation, and maybe it wasn't done in the best way, but at least it was finally put out there, Peter, you are a man. Stop getting involved with women's business, because he has been the catalyst for drama for how many shows now? And I don't know if it's because Peter's trying to get an extra check from Andy Cohen, because, you know, his business is floundering. Everything he touched turns to brass. We've discussed this. How many businesses...
I'm going to discuss that on the next show here.
Right.
Apparently.
How many businesses have gone out of business under Peter's thumb? So I don't know if him trying to get involved with the women is trying to make him more of like a frontline character on the show so he can pay more. But however or whatever the recipe for disaster is, it makes him look crazy. It makes him look like he's trying too hard to be a female, and it's disgusting.
Well, let's hear what Nene had to say about that, about Peter.
Say it. Go ahead, Nene.
Female business.
Hold on now. You ain't gonna go with the whole thing. Let me tell you something.
Okay.
You were speaking to me all motherfucking
crazy.
What's wrong?
What did I say?
Hold on, Greg. You know I'm not gonna be disrespectful.
My friend, I've rise above so much.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And with 100 people there, you came in and you cut the way you did.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's what I was upset about.
I get that.
Okay.
Let me just
all
say
right.
You what you
but
need
your
to
delivery.
Hold on.
Wrong.
Let me just say this. Greg. This is what you need to do. You need to stay out of women's business. You are causing problems. You are the only husband, boyfriend, fiance that gets involved in women's business. We happen to like Peter a whole lot better than Patricia.
What woman business was I getting involved?
You always involved. What we do as women is between us. You need to roll with these fellas and not try to roll with these women.
I don't roll with nobody, baby.
Okay, well, you need to stop trying to roll with the women, okay?
I'm not rolling with y'all.
You need to stay out of women's business. You stop trying to be a damn bitch.
And there you have it.
Yeah, because I don't know. That was very disrespectful on a masculine.
It was
one
very disrespectful.
One wonders how Cynthia and Peter will be able to continue a genuine friendship with Nene and Greg after that.
Well, let me tell you this. While Peter's behavior has been questionable and he has, you know, he's been very involved in the activity of the women, even at one point asking Marlo and Kenya, since when you two started hanging out, Peter, what is it your business? Why aren't you playing golf? Why aren't you rubbing your balls and scratching them the way men do? Like, why are you worried about why Marlo and Kenya are friends, right?
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, and Stacy, you know, I try to keep it professional, but no chick is going to get in my man face like that. This is what it is. Nene knows Cynthia is not going to do anything. She felt perfectly comfortable, because the irony of the situation is Greg was checking Peter for getting up in his wife's face, but it was no problem for Nene to get up in Peter's face and then call him a bitch, right? So Cynthia's standing there on the outskirts watching Nene get up in her man's face and then disrespect her man and call him out of his name and call him a bitch. Now,
well,
guess what?
Go ahead. I'll
but
ask
guess
after.
What? Nene picked the right one, because she knows she couldn't have done that to Candy's man. She knew she couldn't do that to Phaedra's man. Because because Cynthia has been playing that passive role. She's been kissing Nene's ass since she tried to get Nene to sign a friendship contract season two, season three, or whatever the season was. Nene knew what she was doing. She knew that she could get up in Peter's face because she knew Cynthia wasn't going to say boo. Nene, you were dead wrong for that because you know you would not allow any woman to jump up in Greg's face in that manner. So Nene definitely played herself in that regard because, you know, Nene is crazy. She stirs the pot, whatever. I don't care how big she is. She's not getting up in my man's face without me saying something to her. You ain't going to sit your big ass down.
Yeah, but Cynthia didn't do that. Let me put on my counselor's hat or psychology hat. Do you think that Cynthia maybe actually values her friendship more than she values her marriage? So that's why
I don't think Cynthia values herself. Cynthia has no personality. She's a yes girl. She goes along with, you know, she went along with everything Peter said in the marriage. She lets him do whatever he wants to do. She's very passive aggressive. She goes along with everything Nene does, even though that's not a friendship. That's not a quid pro quo friendship. Nene calls the shot in that relationship. Do you recall the scene when Cynthia tried to bring up, well, what happened with you and Marlo at my event? And Nene was like, don't fucking ask me about shit. Don't ask me this. Don't ask me that. I'm your friend. I can't, as your friend, I can't ask you about what happened at my event. You two chicks messed up my event, and I can't ask you about it. If Cynthia was under any delusions that her and Nene was friends, she should have known then and there when Nene said, oh, don't ask me about that. Because a real friend will be able to ask you about anything. Anything.
That's true. So in many ways, Cynthia may be Nene's little puppy, kind of.
Exactly. The only person Cynthia feels like she could get cute with is her sister.
Yeah,
and you know
true.
What they say, family, you know, blood is thicker than water, and maybe she knows her sister really loves her, and that's why she tries to get cute with her sister. But Cynthia, you're full of it. You could talk to your sister all kinds of crazy, but you can't stand up to your husband. You can't stand up to your purported best friend. Cynthia needs to have a seat, too. I'm sick of her, too, because she's so passive-aggressive.
Yeah, because, it just makes you wonder what Peter was thinking. But I feel like Greg, him holding on to this stuff, you think that Nene maybe kind of got into him that night and said, why did you let that man talk to me like that?
Probably.
It's kind of weird.
Probably because Nene loves to play the victim. She's never wrong. But, you know, God forbid somebody says or does something to her, then it's, I can't believe you would do this to me. I can't believe you would say this to me. Just like the situation with her and Marlo. Now, had that would have occurred with any of the other women on the show, it would have been like, why you don't want to talk about it? Oh, you don't want to talk about it? Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. But because it's Nene, we can't talk about it? Nene, have a seat. You just
now,
mad
she
at
ran
you
away
got
from Marlo.
Cut from the show.
She ran away from Marlo because Marlo's a true thug.
Marlo did jail time. She knew Marlo would have ate her food. You remember that saying back in the day, I'll eat your food? I mean, cut up your face. She knew Marlo was going to eat up her food.
I know, right? Because, Marlo's on something else because he even started crying at the same time. So, you know, she's the third.
Marlo is a piece of work because I'm still trying to figure out her angle. Like, are you really just trying to, you know, get on? Like, I think she's trying to get a more prominent role on this show. But
yeah, I definitely think she's using Kenya, for sure.
Of course she is, but why wouldn't she? I would use Kenya, too, because Kenya uses everybody. Clearly that relationship isn't genuine. Like, Kenya going to sit there and tell Marlo, oh, and Nene was like, get the F off me. No, Marlo said get the F off me, because Marlo was trying to get at Nene. Kenya grabbed her arm, and Marlo, being a true thug she is, was like, no, get the F off me, because when you're ready to fight, you don't want anybody touching you. You don't want anybody holding your arms back because you want to be ready. I know. I won't tell you how I know, but I know. So she said that, and Kenya knows she said that, but tried to make it seem like Nene was the one who said it. Marlo, on the other hand, I really do believe she felt like Nene's friendship. I definitely believe that there was some type of kinship. You know, I remember the episode when Marlo invited Nene into her house and showed her a closet with all the Chanel bags and the Christian Louboutins, and she even gave Nene a bag. She said, look, you can have this or something, right? And this is before Nene did the Glee thing, and this is before Modern Family, before Nene was making money, before Nene was rich. Remember? Before she was rich. Right.
Exactly.
So Marlo basically said, like, I was the one giving you styling tips. Like, I was the one who put you on, Heffa, because we all know, like, Marlo has the billionaire, allegedly, at her disposal. That's who keeps her up and does whatever, because, you know, she's a kept woman. Right,
yeah.
She's a kept
she's
woman.
She's a hustler.
She's a damn good hustler, and now she's hustling her way onto that show. So I would be surprised if she's not Portia's replacement, because, and I know you mentioned this in the introduction, when you did the introduction, the fight, the alleged fight of Portia and Kenya on a reunion show, and I'm so in tune for that show. Like, popcorn is ready. I got the chocolate. I got the wine. I cannot wait to watch that reunion show, okay?
Now, speaking of that reunion show, here is a clip of Kenya Moore taking it to the next level by calling 911 after that incident. Check this out.
817 West Peachtree. 817 West Peachtree Street. And what's your name?
Kenya, K-E-N-Y-A.
And why do you need police, ma'am?
I've just been assaulted.
Who assaulted you, ma'am?
Portia Williams.
Portia Williams? Okay.
Yes.
Which room are you in?
I'm on the third floor.
Is she black or Hispanic, ma'am?
Black.
What color shirt is she wearing?
She's wearing a gold dress.
What color dress, ma'am?
Gold.
What color pants? Okay, does she have a weapon?
No, I don't think so.
And what exactly happened, ma'am?
She hit me in my head and was hitting me.
And where is she now, ma'am?
Here at the hotel.
Is she still in the room with you?
No.
Do you know where she went?
No, I do not.
Okay, do you need to go to the hospital?
No.
In other words, why the hell did you call 911? Now here's
because she wants attention. Oh my goodness, doesn't she sound like one of those stupid kids,
yes,
the bullies who finally get their ass whooped and it's like, yeah, he hit me. No. Gold
I don't
dress.
Need anything, right? I know.
That's
kind of low. That's kind of low on her end. But this is what Nene had to say about the whole incident.
Hey, do you think
y'all gonna make me blind?
Do you think Kenya should press charges against Portia for the physical altercation?
Kenya's stupid. She need to fix her fake booty.
So you think Portia gonna get kicked off?
She shouldn't get kicked off. What they need to do is kick Kenya's fake booty off.
Put a drink on it.
Anyway.
So
Nene obviously has it. But Nene seems to always enjoy the drama. Like, here she is.
Nene enjoys the drama. And one thing about Nene, she can always make you laugh. Like, in light of everything, you're talking about her fake booty. And we know the booty is fake. I mean, can you
put a drink
good,
on it? That's
but,
hilarious.
But clearly, the booty is fake. But that's hysterical. We need to kick her fake booty off the show.
I have to see that, the fake booty. But it's
really crazy. And you know what? I don't know what happened. I'm not going to know what happened until I watch the reunion show, but Kenya has been bullying Portia from day one. And I'm wondering if all that residual anger built up and Portia was just like, oh, hell no, ho. I'm gonna fix that ass. And finally,
because he brought out, like, sex toys or something.
Right, because Kenya was jealous of Portia's youth, her beauty, everything. Like, even when... You know, Portia came out there in Mexico, and Miss Lawrence is like, ooh, yeah, honey, that's the sex kitten of the South. Kenya was jealous. She was jealous that her right-hand girl, because I can't say man because Miss Lawrence is a girl, said
exactly.
Another woman was the sex kitten of the South. Kenya, in her head, wants to be the sex kitten of the South.
Mm-hmm.
So because
how
she
you
was
doing?
So upset, how you
yeah.
doing? Because she
yeah.
was so upset and so jealous, then she proceeds to attack Portia at the table, calling her a beard, et cetera, et cetera. Kenya, jealousy does not look good on you. A beautiful woman such as you are, you should never be that jealous of another woman at all, at all.
I agree. It is jealousy because I think Portia really was in awe of her in many ways and respected her.
In the beginning.
Yeah, in the beginning. And I think she was truly hurt that the real Kenya was this, as you say, this jealous being.
Because Portia didn't understand it, and why would you? You can't understand a broken woman, and that's what Kenya Moore is, and she needs to, instead of, you know, trying to cause so much chaos and havoc in other people's lives, she needs to deal with her own issues. Going back to what we said, mental health. Like, she really needs to deal with the fact that her mother abandoned her and never acknowledged the fact that Kenya was her daughter. That bothers Kenya. She carries it with her every day, that her mother can, her own mother, the woman who birthed her, can look her in her face and not even see her as her daughter. She mentioned in too many tearful conversations how much of a traumatic impact her upbringing had on her life. But instead on focusing on trying to make herself better, she focuses on trying to cause problems for other people. And that's a miserable person.
No, yes, she is miserable. And you hit it right there on the head, because I think she has issues with women because of her mother.
Of course she does. And she sees women as a threat, and she tries to play, you know, she always wants to be Miss Cutesy and, you know, get up in somebody's man's face or try to make somebody feel bad about themselves. And you know what? Kenya ain't shit. Let me tell you, she's a punk. And this is why I say this, because she put a picture of herself in a two-piece in everybody's room except for Nene. Do you remember that? In Nene's room.
Wait, no, I didn't catch that.
Okay, so when the women come down to the island, when they come down to Mexico for the first time, you know, there's a picture, and Miss Lawrence is like, girl, why you think these women want to see a picture of you? Honey, you playing yourself. And Kenya's like, ha, 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 thinking she was real cute having her, you know, her breasts and titties and ass all out in pictures in the room as a welcoming basket for the women to receive her. But in Nene's room, she put a picture of her and Nene. You know why? Because she knew Nene would have been like, bitch, why are you putting a picture of your naked body, you in a two-piece in my room?
Pretty much, yeah. Nene would tell it like it is.
Exactly. And she finally got, it's the reason why she called the cops on Portia, because she didn't think Portia had it in her to whoop her ass. That was the sound of a person who got her ass whooped. And
I will
didn't know
say I was
she was
shocked
get
to hear that
whooped.
Myself. I will say I was shocked to hear that too.
When I heard it, it was just like, oh, this makes sense. Because think about it, Portia went through a terrible divorce, didn't get anything in the divorce settlement. She's on this reunion show, has to look in the face of the woman who's antagonized her for how many years now, 2 going on 3, who's always talking smack about her, never has anything nice to say about Portia. Portia never did anything to this woman. So I think all the rage that was pent up in Portia, Kenya probably said the wrong thing, hit the right button, and Portia jumped up and was like, you know what, ho? I'm about tired of you. I'm about to put my hands on you for real, for real. And that's it. We didn't even see the fight. We don't know what happened, but I kind of know what happened. Kenya got her ass whooped. That's why she called the cops.
Yes, no, gold dress. I don't think she has a weapon, but she hit me in my head.
I know, it was a disappointment. Completely.
But she hit me in my head.
I think even a 911 operator wanted to be like, bitch, please.
Exactly.
Like, get off my lap.
Kenya, I hope when Portia hits you on your head, I hope it knocks some sense into you. Get your life. Get yourself
together. Yeah, it's called emergency, and you don't even have an emergency. Like, what the hell?
Yes,
like, you don't need to go to the hospital. You don't need to do nothing. What
hotel. No. Go dress.
She didn't even know where she was. Like, if I didn't play the whole clip, but she didn't even know where the hotel was.
Kenya sounded like somebody who got her ass whooped and didn't. She, you know what it was? Kenya is so used to talking shit and people not calling her on it, because she's a talker. She don't come for me unless I call for you. And when Phaedra was like, oh, yeah, do I smack the dog shit out of you? Oh, no, that's not going to happen, honey. Oh, guess what, Kenya? It did.
Exactly. She wasn't going with the Wynn Fabulous that day.
Oh, she was just going. She was going. It had the wind knocked out of her. Not
oh, yeah,
so fabulous
yeah,
ass.
That's good. That's hilarious. Yes, I love that. The wind was knocked out. Okay, Ms. Fancy, but that's our show for tonight. Any last words you want to share with the audience?
Let's see. My last thoughts for tonight's show. You know, we talked a lot. You know, we started out with, you know, the tragedy of the Lopez shooting and whatnot, and then segued into the reality show. And I think the common thread in the dialogue of this conversation is basically acknowledging mental health and acknowledging that you might, everybody has issues. We all, nobody's perfect. Everybody,
exactly.
Everybody has had obstacles in roadblocks in their lives. Ultimately, you have the decision. You make the decision. Which, if you're going to turn right, if you're going to turn left, if you're going to stay on a straight path, if you stray from it, take accountability for your action and stop playing the victim. Like, I'm a firm believer in self-evaluating and self-reflecting and just basically holding yourself accountable for how you played a role into any given situation. I just think a lot of situations would turn out much better if people took the time out and instead of letting their ego lead the way, instead of letting their feelings lead the way, you know, took stock into how they played a role into it. And we need to start from there. And evaluating yourself, like, you know, it's all about self-love. Like, you won't ever be capable of loving if you don't love yourself. You have to start with you. And I say that with love, and I say that about Evelyn Lozada, and I say that about Kenya Moore, and every other person that we discussed on this show tonight. It starts with you. You can be angry and lash out at people, but it starts with you.
Very good words, very good words. And I forgot to ask, though, do you think Portia should get kicked off of the Atlanta Housewives? Because if she gets kicked off, then Apollo should get kicked off. Because, I mean, they all fought.
I don't think I don't think Portia should get kicked off of fighting Kenya, whooping her ass or whatever the case was, but I can see how, you know, she's not integral to the cast. Like, she's not married to anyone, you know, she's not married to anyone of a prominent figure anymore. She doesn't have, like, a real job. Like, what is it about Portia now that she's not married to this person anymore that would sustain her role on the show? So I can see her not being on the show, but I don't think it makes sense to kick her off of fighting Kenya. But I think that if Portia was leaving the show, it probably had nothing to do with Kenya. And that's probably why she whooped her ass, because she was like, fuck it, I'm getting off the show anyway. I might as well whoop her ass before I leave, you know?
That's true, right? It's just been building up. But I
right.
love your final words there. I love your final words. That's a great
way
to end this show. So Ms. Fancy will sign off. We'll definitely be back next week. And
sure.
Yes, we'll see what the Real Housewives brings us this weekend. And, you know, as other hot topics we'll touch on. And who knows, maybe we'll start interviewing some people, too. So.
That'd be great. And the weather is finally breaking. This desolate winter, hopefully, will be behind us really soon. And, you know, the sun is coming out. It was out today, and it was fabulous here in the city. And, you know, I'm excited. I'm excited about spring. I'm excited about summer. And I'm excited about life in general. And I'm just happy. And I hope this my happiness spreads to other people. And, you know, it starts with you.
It does start with you. That is for sure. All right, Ms. Fancy, we'll talk next week.
All right. Stacey, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for allowing me to do this with you.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Good night, everybody. Signing off.
All right, that was Ms. Fancy. Thank you. Thank you again, Ms. Fancy. We always enjoy you. I always enjoy you. I'm just one person, so I always enjoy you, and I know the audience enjoys you. We will be back again, like I said, next week to discuss some more hot topics, some of the latest hot topics. Now, be sure to catch Hollywood and Friends Sunday at 8 p.m. Again, follow us on Twitter. Facebook at Hampton Blue, No E on the Blue, and also catch the archive of this episode on iTunes or the Stitcher radio app, which you can get on your phones, or the TuneIn radio app. You can also get that on your phone. Again, just simply search Hampton Blue Radio, and there we will be. Since we've been talking a lot about relationships and love and all that kind of stuff, especially with the Real Housewives, I want to end the night with a song by Hollywood again. It's a real short song. It's called Cupid's Got a Gun. And indeed it does. Love can truly hurt. Love can can cause much pain. But as Ms. Fancy says, love yourself enough that you can deal with that pain from another person and move forward with your life and find the right kind of love. But until next time, peace. Here's Hollywood. Cupid's got a gun. Check it out.
Cupid's got a gun. Now who said he's a lover? Really, he's a murderer.
I gave it to you, cause you asked me for it, baby, thought I go soft, but I can't control it once the gun go off, like pow, cap, bang, now we chasing every skirt with a Barbie bang, on some Nicki shit with the Minaj gang, got you tight every time that Blackberry rang, but man, nah, I have nothing to do with that, I just made you fall in love, but you,
chose your man,
and it started in the club, huh, why, cause he had traits for ya, you was so gone, took him home and lay with ya, feelings, but he's not feeling, now I may have a gun, but I'm no villain, no.
Cupid's got a gun. Cupid's got a gun. Now who said he's a lover? Really, he's a murderer.
I make hits, not the public. I tell the DJs what to play. Understand?